We can take a few minutes to speak a portion of a drop from the ocean of the unlimited glories of this great Vaishnav devotee of the Lord. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world, he appeared with many of his most intimate confidential associates from Goloka Vrindavan. Sri Radharani, Lord Sri Krishna, they descended in this singular form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and with them they brought the most exalted divine souls to assist them in this great mission of spreading the glories of bhakti, pure bhakti, through the chanting of the Lord's holy name. Sri Sri Radha Krishna are sometimes compared to the whorl of a lotus flower. And the eight-petal lotus that they sit within is surrounded by the eight petals, which are the eight sakis, Lalita Saki, Vishaka, Sudevi, Rangadevi, Induleka, Champatlata, and Chitra. And each of these sakis has as their confidential assistants a leading manjari who leads the others, very young gopis. These manjaris are compared to, you know, those fine, those like fine hairs that come out of a lotus flower, stamens or something like that, in the sense that they are between the sakis and the whorl of the lotus, and they are always making tasteful, loving arrangements under the instruction of the sakis for the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So we know that when Mahaprabhu appeared, Swarup Damodar appeared as Lalita Saki, Ramananda Rai appeared as from Vishakha, and they also descended with their most confidential manjari associates, Rup Manjari, Rati Manjari, Ananga Manjari. And Jiva Goswami is the incarnation of Vilas Manjari. So therefore, when we speak of the life or the history of such a Nitya Siddha Param Bhakta, it is really the glorification of the pastimes of the spiritual world, Vrindavan, the Nitya Leela of the Lord. Jiva Goswami was born as the son of the great exalted Vaishnava Vallabha, also called by the name of Anupam. And his two most celebrated brothers were Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. So this made Jiva Goswami the nephew of Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan. When Rupa and Sanatan were working as government officials, under the Nawab Hussain Shah in the capital of Bengal, which was then Ramakeli. They wrote many letters to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. They were pure Vaishnavas from birth. They were forced by social pressures to take service under a Malecha king. But they could understand by the pure intuition of their heart that Sri Sri Radha Krishna, their eternal Lord and consort, had appeared as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So they were writing letters, "What should we do? We want to join you, we want to serve you, but we are under this most lamentable and degraded condition of life." Anyways, Mahaprabhu did not answer their letter many times. And the mother of Rupa and Sanatan and Anupam actually is a great devotee, so is the father. They were all pure Vaishnavas. They encourage that you continue writing to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. In fact, mother and father were very embarrassed. They very much wanted them to give up this government service and take exclusively to the path of bhakti. Not like most of our parents these days. So finally Mahaprabhu answered their letter. In a very mysterious way. But because of their sincere devotion, they could understand what he was saying. He said that just as a wife has attachment to another man, she will perform her worldly duties very nicely to her husband, so he does not suspect. But in her mind, she will always be thinking of the other man, always waiting for the chance to meet him. Something like that. Anyways, they could understand that very soon they would be receiving the mercy of Mahaprabhu, and they would be liberated from all of these government services. But for now, they have to just pretend to be like ordinary civil workers, civil servants. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was on his first attempted journey to Vrindavan Dham. And as he was traveling, so many of his followers were coming with him. To go on a yatra of Vrindavan with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was something that they were very much wanting to do. And throughout the path en route to Brijbhumi, he was performing Sankirtan with his devotees. And his beautiful dancing, his supremely gorgeous form, and his merciful glance, what to speak of the bhakti of all of his associates, Nityanand Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, others, was attracting people to just leave their homes, leave their families, take their families, but just follow behind without any regard for past, present, or future. So soon there was literally tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands of people having the kirtan with Mahaprabhu. And as he was walking, every step that he would take, people would just pick up the dust from the place where his foot had touched and worship that dust and place it on their heads. Anyways, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inconceivable to the minds of all others, he took a detoured route, which was actually quite out of the way, to Ramakeli. And there he had beautiful kirtan. And now Nawab Hussain Shah heard from people that there is a great prophet. Perhaps he is the supreme god. He is so beautiful. He's attracting so many people with his love and his devotion. So he inquired from Rupa and Sanatan, they could understand that Gauranga Mahaprabhu had come. They told Nawab, because they knew his mind, that they should not take him so seriously. He's just some Hindu sadhu chanting. But anyways, in the night, when no one would suspect what they were doing, they very secretly, Rup Sanatan and Anupam, they went to the residence of Sriman Mahaprabhu, and they first met Nityanand Prabhu and Srila Haridas Thakur. And by the mercy of these two intimate associates of the Lord, they were brought to the lotus feet of Lord Gaurasundar. And there they surrendered their lives. They took cloth and wrapped it around their neck. They put grass in their teeth. And they fell down and with such humility that they did not even feel themselves qualified to stand up in the presence of the Lord. The Lord had to pick them up and he embraced them. And he began to offer beautiful prayers, such humble prayers, considering themselves the most fallen, the most wretched, lower than Jagai and Madhai, with no hope of any salvation, save and except the causeless, infinite mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Patita Pavana Avatar. They say, we have no right to even ask for your mercy. We are so fallen souls. But what other hope do we have than you? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his lotus feet on their head and he gave them these names, Rup Sanatan Anupam. In this way, it is explained that the son of Anupam, little Jiva, who was a tiny child, he was watching from a little distance away and listening to this beautiful exchange between his father, his uncles, and Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And just by that brief darshan and hearing the ambrosial words of the Lord and seeing the example of the utter surrender of his father and their brothers, he became completely saturated with the thought of Lord Gaurasundar. He could think of nothing else and no one else. Soon after this, his father Anupam, while traveling to Jagannath Puri to meet Gauranga Mahaprabhu with Srila Rupa Goswami, on the bank of the Ganges in Bengal, he departed from this world and gained entrance into the spiritual world. Jiva Goswami, who was a young child when he heard this news, it was utter devastation to his mind. He loved his father so dearly, not only as a father, but as a great Vaishnava. And then Rupa and Sanatan, under the order of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, settled in Vrindavan Dham. They were given the instruction to establish by their example perfect Vaishnava behavior, to establish the proper etiquette that Vaishnavas should follow, to extract the essence of all the Vedic scriptures, to establish that pure bhakti is the ultimate siddhanta and ultimate goal of life, to excavate the holy places of pilgrimage where Lord Sri Krishna had performed his wonderful pastimes, and to establish temples and demonstrate the proper form of deity worship. So while they were living in Vrindavan, little Jiva, he was always thinking, when will I go to Vrindavan to meet with Rupa and Sanatan? When will I go? When will I go? When will that day be mine? because of his long, deep, burning desire to be amongst Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, he had absolutely no interest in any material things. Their family was very wealthy. He was given beautiful ornaments, wonderful clothes, all sorts of nice facilities, but he cared nothing for any of them. In fact, his friends, the young children around, they were naturally studying, having all games. He had no interest in any of that. He was only considering one thing in his life from his earliest childhood, and that was bhakti to Krishna and Balaram. Because he had that darshan in his early childhood of Lord Gauranga and Lord Nityananda, somehow or other that awakened in his heart a spontaneous love for Krishna and Balaram. So he would spend his day by making little deities of Krishna and Balaram and then serving them. He would get nice food and offer it to them as bhoga. He would be constantly bowing down, offering dandavats before them. And he would make garlands for them, and he would make jewelry for them, and he would clothe them with beautiful, nice garments, and he would sing for them, and he would dance, and he would always be praying, "Oh Krishna and Balaram, when will that day be when I meet with Rupa and Sanatana in Vrindavan Dham?" He was feeling such intense separation. One day, it is explained, he spent the whole day in this way, in the loving service of the Lord. And the night came, and he was so much feeling separation from Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his associates. He was trying to compose himself. In fact, people around, they were so much both impressed and concerned with this boy. The people would say, "Look at this jiva. Ever since his father has left, he just weeps and cries. And he incessantly, with tears in his eyes of love, he's serving these little murtis of Krishna and Balaram." Sometimes in ecstatic love, he could not control his emotions, but he would try to conceal them. But on this night, he just broke down and began to pray from the core of his heart. "O Lord Sri Gaurchandra, O Nityanand Prabhu, O Advaita Prabhu, please be kind upon me." And he was up throughout the entire night, sleepless, just weeping and crying in separation from the Lord. And toward the end of the night, he fell asleep. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a beautiful dream, a dream that he had seen before. Mahaprabhu appeared with Nityananda, Dvaita, Srivas, Haridas, and all of his associates, and they were having beautiful, beautiful sankirtan of the holy name. And when he was singing, Gauranga Mahaprabhu's beautiful golden form dancing and trembling in ecstasy brought ecstasy to his heart. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing and dancing, there were hundreds and thousands of people all around him, tumultuously resounding the holy names, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And then his dream broke. And he woke up. And that Mahaprabhu had disappeared, had broken his heart. And he just fell to the ground in the ecstasy of separation. "Oh my Lord, where are you? Where are you? Where have you gone?" And then he fell asleep again by the grace of the Lord. And in this time, Krishna and Balaram, his worshipable deities appeared in their original forms to him. Shyam Sundar had a beautiful bluish complexion, beautiful golden gowns, eyes blooming like lotus flowers, wonderful jewelry and garlands, head bedecked with peacock feather. And Balaramji, with his beautiful complexion, white like the spring cloud, wearing his beautiful bright blue garments with forest flowers and jewels. They both looked upon Jiva, this child, with such love. And Jiva Goswami, upon seeing them, was just absorbing their causeless mercy. And just at that time, Lord Balaramji transformed into the beautiful form of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And Lord Sri Krishna transformed before his eyes into the beautiful form of Lord Gaura Sundar. Jiva offered his prostrated obeisance, dandavat, at their lotus feet. And when he rose, both Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda Prabhu took their beautiful lotus feet and placed them upon the top of his head. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said to Jiva Goswami, he said, "I am trusting you under the care of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. You are his property." And then Nityananda Prabhu said to Jiva, "May you always worship Lord Gauranga as the Lord of your life." After receiving this most blessed darshan, the dream came to an end. And at that time, Jiva Goswami had an insatiable thirst to leave behind all of his attachments to family and simply run to Vrindavan Dham. Soon after this, the Lord in his heart inspired him to go to Navadvip to see the beautiful place of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's birth and Adi Lila pastimes. And plus, he knew that Lord Nityananda Prabhu was residing there at that time. So Jiva Goswami, at that time Jiva, he made some excuse that he was going to visit some relative at some native place. And then when he got on the boat, he told the boatman, "You take me to Navadvip instead." When he arrived in the ecstasy of love to be in the holy soils of Sri Mahaprabhu's Leela, he immediately began to walk, inquiring from everyone, "Where is Lord Nityananda?" He was given directions to a place where Srivas Thakur was residing. Lord Nityananda could feel within his heart that Jiva was coming. And Srivas Thakur went out to greet him. And he brought him to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Jiva fell at his feet, and Nityananda placed those sacred lotus feet, which are the ultimate goals of all fortunate bhaktas, he placed them upon the head of Jiva Goswami. And in order to fulfill Sri Jiva's intimate desires, Lord Nityananda decided to take him on a parikram of all of Navadvip Dham. So Nityananda, Srivas, they went to the home of Lord Gauranga, the Yoga Pit, where later Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur discovered the actual place, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur made a beautiful temple, where the original deities of Jagannath Mishra, that Lord Gauranga, the ones that they worshipped, are still there today. When Bhakti Vinod was excavating the place, they actually found those original murtis of Lakshmi Narayan under the ground. So they were greeted by Sachi Devi and Vishnu Priya, the mother and the widow of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also the servant of Sachi Devi, whose name was Bamsi Vadana. And Sachi and Vishnu Priya, so although they were just utterly engrossed in lamenting in the ecstasy of divine separation from Lord Gaurasundar, they became jubilant to see such an effulgent, young, beautiful devotee. And they immediately began with their own hands to cook nice prasad, and they brought it to offer to Lord Nityanand and Jiva and Srivas. Sachi Devi, Vishnu Priya put their feet on little Jiva's head and bestowed their blessings upon him, that he can begin his Navadvip Parikrama. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, through his divine vision, he has revealed many of the details of this Navadvip Dham Parikram in his book entitled Navadvip Dham Parikram. Such reciprocations of love between Lord Nityanand and Jiva Goswami, the descriptions of each of the places was being explained by Nityanand Prabhu to Jiva Goswami through the nine islands of Navadvip they traveled. And from time to time, in the ecstasy of love, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his associates would actually appear before them in physical forms to allow them to take part in their beautiful Sankirtan pastimes. Nityananda Prabhu then ordered Jiva Goswami to go to Vrindavan, to take shelter of Rupan Sanatan Goswami's. In fact, Nityananda Prabhu said to Jiva that Vrindavan Dham has been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to your family. That is the place that you should go. But en route to Vrindavan, you should go to Varanasi, Sri Kashi Dham. And there you should find one very great disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, whose name is Madhusudan Vachaspati. And you should learn the Shastras from him. So Jiva went to Varanasi, and he became the student of Madhusudan. And he was so brilliant that Madhusudan Vachaspati was just chanting the glories of this student throughout all of Varanasi. Within a very short time, he became famous, not only throughout Varanasi, but throughout all of India, as such a deeply learned and realized scholar of the Vedic literatures, and such a profound philosopher. After his studies, he proceeded to that great goal that he was always longing to achieve, the holy land of Vrindavan. And there he met with his beloved uncles. It is described in Bhakti Ratnakar that when Jiva Goswami appeared, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Kashishwar, they were all there to greet him and to welcome him to Braj Bhumi. And since Sanatan was the senior most of all of them, Jiva Goswami surrendered to Sanatan and begged him to accept him as disciple and give him initiation. But Sanatan entrusted him to take initiation from Srila Rupa Goswami, in which he did. In fact, he became so dear to Rupa Goswami. He did not immediately initiate him, but he wanted to properly train him on how to be a disciple. And although Jiva Goswami was such a pure devotee of the Lord and such a brilliant scholar of all the Vedas, and so utterly renounced from any material attachment whatsoever, Rupa Goswami wanted to train him in menial service. So sometimes he would have him prepare the deity paraphernalia, Radha Govindaji. Sometimes he would have him make garlands. Sometimes he would have him do menial service like cleaning. Sometimes he would prepare pencils for Rupa Goswami for his writing. And you know, in those days, the Goswamis, they did not have computers or typewriters or even pencils, pens, and papers. They would do all their writing by carving with sticks into palm leaves. And the palm leaves had to be very specially prepared so that the writing would be permanent. So this was one of the special services of Jiva Goswami, is he would prepare the palm leaves and the pencils for Rupa Goswami to do his writing. And sometimes he would massage the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. Through this menial service, Rupa was very, very pleased with him, and he gave him initiation into the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. There are several beautiful stories of the reciprocation of love between Rupa and Jiva Goswamis. One time it is explained that one pundit of the name Rupa Narayan, he came to Vrindavan. He was known as Digvijay because he had traveled throughout all the places of India. And he was a great philosopher. And he would challenge all other scholars to debates. And he would defeat them. He was undefeated. And then he would get something called a Jayapatra, a certificate that I have been defeated by Rupa Narayan. But he wrote. And so he approached Rupa and Sanatan. Said, I am a great scholar. You are all nothing before me. I challenge you to a debate. Rupa and Sanatan were so humble. They didn't care anything about the prestige of this world. They said, why should you waste your time? You are a great scholar. We are nothing. We know hardly anything. Why should we waste our time trying to defeat someone we cannot? And why should you waste your time defeating someone who's not worthy of your status? We admit defeat. Then you sign this certificate. They signed. He was very happy. I have defeated them. Didn't consider that they were just being humble. But he heard about Jiva Goswami, that he was an upcoming, very, very great scholar. So I should defeat him also. So he went to Jiva and he said, you see, you should sign this paper. Your uncles already did. He became very mad. What nonsense. You are blaspheming them. I will accept your challenge. For 7 days they sat on the bank of the Jamuna, and on the seventh day it was unanimously agreed that Rupa Narayan was defeated by Sri Jiva Goswami. He did not do it for his own reputation. He did not do it for the sake of defeating some mundane scholar, which is a total waste of time for Vaishnava. He did it for only one reason, out of his great love for his gurus. He wanted to preserve the dignity of their names, for the people in general will not be illusioned to think that they could be defeated by anyone, especially a mundane scholar. So Jiva Goswami very happily went to announce to Rupa and Sanatan that the dignity of your good name has been preserved. And when Rupa heard, "You defeated him? What nonsense is this? He's a mundane scholar. We don't waste our time with mundane scholars. Why you wasted your time arguing with him for 7 days? It means you wanted to establish yourself, which is a sign of pride. And no one with even a drop of pride can live in Vrindavan Dham. Therefore, you must leave this place." Jiva Goswami, his heart was broken, thinking that he had offended his guru, Sri Rupa Goswami, and he bowed down, and with tears of love and shame, he left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. Anyways, he was fasting, trying to atone for this offense. And at that time, it is explained, Sanatan felt very sorry for him. So he went to Rupa, and he said, "Rupa, I believe that there is something about Mahaprabhu's philosophy that you do not understand." And Rupa Goswami was so humble, supremely humble. He said, "Oh, please tell me which part of Mahaprabhu's philosophy I do not understand. Please explain it to me." He said, "Well, you just explain the major points." When he came to the point, the principle of jiva-doi, kindness to jivas, he could understand what Sanatan was saying, that he should be kind to jiva. So he called him back. And Jiva Goswami came back and he embraced him. There's another similar story where Balabhacharya came to Vrindavan Dham, and Rupa Goswami was then writing the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Balabhacharya was very senior. He was a personal friend and associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, he was older than Lord Gauranga, and Lord Gauranga respected him as a senior person. Of course, sometimes he chastised him, but in general, he accepted him as a very senior person. So Rupa Goswami, who was perfectly always following the Vaishnava etiquette, respected him as a senior Vaishnava. And he said, "I am just writing this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and I'm working on the introduction, and I would like you to go over it and make any corrections that you think are required." So Balabha pointed out some defects. Rupa said, "Well, you take it and correct it." So anyways, he went to the Jamuna, Balabhacharya, and there Jiva was, and he introduced himself. And he started explaining to Jiva Goswami that there are certain technical mistakes in Rupa Goswami's writing. So Jiva Goswami, he could not tolerate hearing this. So he began to explain to Balabhacharya that actually you are not seeing it in the highest, you are seeing it in a lower light of knowledge and bhakti. He is from that lower form, it may appear that way. But try to understand it from this higher perspective of pure devotion. And when he explained it in that way, Balabhacharya was thinking, this Jiva Goswami, such a brilliant scholar. He has completely defeated me. And he was grateful to be defeated. So he went back to Rupa, and he said, "Rupa, please take this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu back." Rupa said, "Why? I thought you're going to help me edit it." "How can I help you edit it? If you are the guru of this Jiva Goswami, who's the most brilliant philosopher I've ever heard, what is my position to say anything about your writing? Everything about it is coming directly from Sri Radharani and Krishna, and it is absolutely perfect. I bow down millions of times to this work and to your lotus feet. And then he left. And when Jiva returned from his bath at the Jamuna, Rupa Goswami said, "You have created a great offense. Vallabhacharya is a senior Vaishnav, senior to me and you. And out of love, like a parent, he wanted to help me by editing my book. Why you corrected him? Why you did that? You have transgressed the etiquette of humility of a Vaishnav." And one who is not more humble than a blade of grass, one who has any sense of prestige or pride, cannot live in Vrindavan, so you must go. So he went. Again. This time he went to a place called Nandaghat. And there, at Nandaghat, he found an abandoned hole in the ground, which was the residence of a crocodile. And he lived in that vacated crocodile hole, underground. And he would just sit all crunched up in this little place, weeping all day long, because he was so much devastated that he had made this offense to his Guru Maharaj. He was crying. And people from local village nearby, they would hear this Babaji, this sadhu, crying. And he would never leave the hall. And they would just leave him some raw flour. And he would mix that raw flour with little Jamuna water. And every day, or sometimes every few days, he would just eat some of that. And because of the darkness and the dampness and this type of diet, he became very sickly, and there were ulcers in his stomach, but he was just laying there crying in separation from the Lord. And one time Sanatan Goswami came to that village. Sanatan Goswami was, of all the Goswamis, he was very popular amongst the Brijbasis, because he had such love for the Brijbasis that he would just go from village to village in Brijbhumi, and he would just stay at some Brijbasi's house, and he would just talk all things with them. He would, "How is your daughter? How is your wife? How is your crops growing this year?" Because he considered that anything the Brijabasis speak is Krishna Katha. Doesn't matter what it is. In fact, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, in his Vrijvilastava, he says like this. He says, "I am simply longing to always hear the idle gossip of the Brijabasis." Because it is all Krishna Katha. It is like nectar to my ears. So Sanatan Goswami, he knew everyone and everyone knew him. It is described that throughout all of Brijbhumi, if there was any problems, they would bring it to Sanatan Goswami. And they all trusted him so much, whatever he said, they would just do it and all problems were solved. Even when husbands and wives didn't get along, they would come, "Sanatan, she says this, I say this, what should we do?" Sanatan would say, "Do like this," and they would, problem solved. They would just do whatever he said. This is the stature he had of being so loving and so gentle and so caring for everybody. So when Sanatan, he would come, of course, in the guise of doing madhukari, begging for some roti, bring it back to Madan Mohan. So he went to this village, and people said, "There is a very, very saintly person here, very renounced, so renounced, he's living in a crocodile hole." And he just drinks a little Jamuna water and eats raw flour. And Sanatan was thinking, because nobody knew where Jiva Goswami was. Everybody just knew he left with a broken heart, crying in agony that he had offended his guru. And he had transgressed Vaishnava etiquette. Although we should know that he didn't transgress any etiquette. He was establishing the highest, most perfect etiquette. Because he did not do it out of pride. He did it to defend the dignity of his spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada explains that this incident of Jiva Goswami is often criticized by mundane scholars and even Vaishnavas who do not understand the real conclusions of the Shastra. They say that out of pride he transgressed Vaishnava etiquette. But we should understand that it wasn't like that. It was like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Jagai and Madhai. He could bear any insult to himself, but he could not bear the insult of exalted Vaishnavas, especially his gurus, Rupa and Sanatana. So Sanatana Goswami, when he heard about the unparalleled tapasya of this person, he understood this must be Jiva Goswami. So he came there, and Jiva Goswami could not even come out of the crocodile hole because he had been crunched in there for so long. Sanatana had to go into the hole himself and personally carry him out. He was emaciated. He was physically very, very deteriorated. And he brought him back to Vrindavan, and he brought him to, and he again told Rupa Goswami that there is a principle called Jiva Doi, you know. Kindness to Jiva. Well, here is Jiva. Be kind to him, please. And when Rupa Goswami saw him, he embraced him with love and tears in his eyes. And they gave him nice prasad and nursed him back to health. So we may think, we have explained why Jiva Goswami did like this. He was perfectly situated in the highest platform of devotion by defending his guru. For a couple reasons. One, to establish the principle of how important it is to be totally humble, to live in Vrindavan, for all the world to follow. But second, and most important, is he wanted to show the world the unlimited glories of the humility and devotion of Jiva Goswami by putting him through with these predicaments. Rupa Goswami loved Srila Jiva Goswami so dearly that the deities, it is said that these deities were carved by the hand of Rupa Goswami himself. But Rupa Goswami personally worshipped a set of beautiful little deities named Radha Damodar as a gift of love. He presented them to Jiva Goswami, who made the worship of Sri Sri Radha Damodar his life and soul. It is believed that Emperor Akbar, he at one time came to Vrindavan Dham, and he had the darshan of Jiva Goswami. And the darshan of Jiva Goswami transformed his heart so much. He was given such a vision and appreciation of Vrindavan that under Jiva Goswami's instruction, he, as well as many of his other generals and ministers, became very active in developing Vrindavan into a great holy place of pilgrimage. And they helped with the construction of Radha Govindaji Mandir and Radha Damodar Mandir, Yugalakishore Mandir, and others, Radha Gopinath Mandir, I believe. So Srila Jiva Goswami was living in this temple of Radha Damodar. And one of the great contributions that he made is he wanted a very safe and permanent place to store all the Goswami's literatures. So he built a library. And there all of Rupa, Sanatana, Raghunath Das, Krishna Das, Kaviraj, Gopal Bhatta, all of their writings were kept very safely in Jiva Goswami's library, which was in the Radha Damodar temple. And of course, Jiva Goswami, his major contribution was his own philosophical writings. It has been approximated that he had written over 400,000 Sanskrit slokas, over 25 beautiful books, the Satsandarbha, Gopal Champu. Yesterday we were telling some story from that book. In this way, under the instruction of Rupa and Sanatan, Jiva Goswami took the principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, and like no one has ever done before, he established those principles on the basis of such undefeatable sound philosophy, and on the basis of such strong evidence from the most authorized Vedic scriptures, that he was actually the one that really established the philosophical base for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas claimed that of all philosophies in the world, the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is the greatest. And of all philosophers in the world, in all the history of mankind, Jiva Goswami is first and foremost. After Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami departed from their earthly lila to return to the eternal abode of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, they appointed Jiva Goswami to be their successor. And although there were many gurus in Vrindavan, many acharyas in Vrindavan, Jiva Goswami was accepted by all to be the prominent. He was the leader of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. At that time, one great acharya of the name Hridoy Chaitanya, who lived in a village called Kalna, which is very close to Navadweep in Bengal, he sent his foremost disciple, whose name was Krishnadas, to study under Jiva Goswami. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami initiated Srinivas Acharya and sent his foremost disciple, Srinivas, to study under Jiva Goswami. And Lokanath Goswami sent his only initiated disciple, Narottam Das Thakur, to study under Jiva Goswami. So he became the Shiksha Guru for these three most exalted Vaishnavas, Narottam Das, Srinivas, and Shamananda. In fact, he gave him the name Shamananda under the instruction of Srimati Radharani, which later became a controversy, but it was settled very nicely by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So these three great devotees took shelter of Jiva Goswamiji. And at one time, Janavi Devi sent a message to Srila Jiva Goswami that you are the leader of all the Vaishnavas. But ever since the disappearance of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, my eternal consort, and Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, most all of the intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu have left their bodies due to separation. And those that are here, they are so much in the feelings of separation that they can hardly preach. But Rupa and Sanatan and Raghunath Das and Krishnadas Kaviraj, they have written all the most important spiritual literatures which establish the profound teachings of Mahaprabhu. They are very much required here in Bengal and Orissa. Please send some preachers and send these books for us to copy. Because you see, the idea was that they would copy the books there and then send them back to Vrindavan. Because there was no one to copy in Vrindavan, because there was only the few of them living in these jungles. That was what Vrindavan was in those days. So Jiva Goswami arranged ox carts with beautiful boxes to bring all the books of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. And he appointed Srinivasacharya Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu to bring those books to Janavi Devi in Bengal and to distribute those, to print those books, to distribute them, and to preach widely and deliver the great mercy of Mahaprabhu. So it was Jiva Goswami who began this divine book distribution program, which was so dear to such great souls as Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. This was the service that he established within our parampara. So Srila Jiva Goswami, whatever little is known about him, is such a great inspiration. In fact, Srinivasacharya, who was directly the pupil of Jiva Goswami, had written in his beautiful prayers, the Sri Sri Sat Goswami Astakam, the glories of the six Goswamis. I would like to read these beautiful prayers by Srinivas Acharya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are always engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and dancing. They are just like the ocean of love of God, and they are popular both with the gentle and with the ruffians. Because they are not envious of anybody, whatever they do, they are all pleasing to everyone, and they are fully blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Thus they are engaged in missionary activities meant to deliver all conditioned souls in the material universe. The six Goswamis are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. I offer my obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who are very much enriched in the understanding of Lord Chaitanya, and who are thus expert in narrating his transcendental qualities. They can purify all conditioned souls from the reactions of their sinful activities by pouring upon them transcendental songs about Govinda. As such, they are very expert in increasing the limits of the ocean of transcendental bliss, and they are the saviors of the living entities from the devouring mouth of liberation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who kicked off all association of aristocracy as insignificant. In order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, they accepted loincloths, treating themselves as mendicants, but they are always merged in the ecstatic ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna and bathe always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who are always engaged in worshipping Radha Krishna in the transcendental land of Vrindavan, where there are beautiful trees full of fruits and flowers, and have under their roots all valuable jewels. The Goswamis are perfectly competent to bestow upon the living entities the greatest boon of the goal of life. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who were engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord and bowing down in a scheduled measurement. In this way, they utilize their valuable lives, and in executing these devotional activities, they conquered over eating and sleeping, and they were always meek and humble, enchanted by remembering the transcendental qualities of the Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who were sometimes on the bank of the Radha Kund Lake or the shores of the Jamuna, and sometimes in Bamsivat. There they appear just like madmen in the full ecstasy of love for Krishna, exhibiting different transcendental symptoms in their bodies, and they were merged in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who were chanting very loudly everywhere in Vrindavan, shouting, Queen of Vrindavan, Radharani, O Lalita, O son of Nanda Maharaj, where are all of you now? Are you just on the hill of Govardhan? Or are you under the trees on the bank of the Jamuna? Where are you? These were their moods in executing Krishna consciousness. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguyuga Sri Jiva Gopalaka. Would anyone like to add anything? Anyone would like to say something about Srila Jiva Goswami, please? Anyone like to say anything about Jiva Goswami? Actually, in the original one, which this has been taken, it actually says their name under each one. But it's in Bengali script, so.
The original one is where?
I've seen it in Manaprabhu's book.
At Radha Damodarjam. In fact, this is a very important remembrance that our Gurudev, Om Vishnupad Paramhamsa, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Prabhupada, he went to Vrindavan to prepare himself to fulfill the order of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which was to take the teachings of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and spread them throughout the world in the English language. Srila Prabhupada knew that the Radha Damodar temple established by Jiva Goswami was the special place that Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and their other intimate associates like Bhugarbha Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, they would meet there on a regular basis at Radha Damodar. That was their meeting place, their headquarters. They would take prasad there together, they would store their books there together, and they would also discuss their writings, have beautiful kirtan, and so on. At the disappearance of Srila Rupa Goswami, arranged by Jiva Goswami, they made Rupa Goswami's samadhi in the courtyard just behind Radha Damodar's temple. Sanatan Goswami's disciples made his samadhi just behind the temple of Radha Madan Mohan. So anyways, Srila Prabhupada was thinking, what more holy place is there in all of creation to be inspired to prepare myself for this great preaching mission that at the temple of Radha Damodar. He was thinking that Rupa Goswami's samadhi is here and we are all Rupanugas, followers of Rupa Goswami. If I pray at his samadhi and receive his blessings, I will be empowered to do this great mission of my Gurudev. And Jiva Goswami was the most prominent of all writers of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So by receiving his mercy and residing at the place of his samadhi in his bhajan kutir, by receiving his blessings, he will empower me to translate and give purports the Srimad Bhagavatam in the English language. So Srila Prabhupada lived at Jiva Goswami's temple for 6 full years. It was his bhajan kutir. He lived a simple life, chanting the holy names, associating with the Brijvasis. He absorbed always in prayer. He would regularly attend the aarti of Sri Sri Radha Damodar each day. In fact, just in the last year, I met 2 Goswamis. One was the senior-most Goswami today of the Radha Ballabh Sampradaya, which is very prominent in Vrindavan, and another of one of the very senior Goswamis of the Radharaman Sampradaya, Radharaman Mandir. I met them at separate times, but they both told me the same exact experience they had with Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada was there in Vrindavan from about 1960, 61 up till 65, and he was immersed in in translating Srimad Bhagavatam and giving his Bhakti Vedanta purports. At that time, these men who are now quite old now, they were children. And they explained that they used to play. One of their favorite playing places was in the courtyard of Radha Damodar Temple. Because the Goswamis there are not very strict and they let children do all playing. And even the head Goswami of Radha Damodar, he used to play in those days too. He was a young boy. And all these different Goswami children of different families, they would all come together often and play with balls and play whatever they do. And they used to always remember this great sadhu who would be sitting in that room, always sitting translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And they said, every day that they would go play there, Prabhupada used to come out and distribute to these children the prasad that he would cook with his own hands and offer it, you know, to the Lord. He said, we loved him so much because he would always come and give us his nicely cooked prasad, give him halava or laddus or nice sweet balls. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada took shelter of the inspiration of Sri Jiva Goswami and Sri Rupa Goswami at the Radha Damodar Temple. And when he got the blessings of Sri Rupa and Sri Jiva, he left Vrindavan to come here to Bombay, where he was trying to make his arrangements for going to America and beginning this great international society of Krishna consciousness. Any questions? Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yuga Sri Jiva Gopala go loudly.
Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yuga Sri Jiva Gopala go.
Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yuga Sri Jiva Gopala go.
Jai Gaur Premanandi. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad Ki.
For further details of this cassette, please contact Radhanath Swami Tape Ministry, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Address is 7 KM Munshi Marg, Chowpatty, Bombay 400007, India.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram Hari Hari. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hari Hari
Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama
ram ram hari hari
hari krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama